الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والنجم إذا هوى. إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والنجم إذا هوى. علمه شديد القوى ذو مرة فاستوى. علمه شديد القوى ذو مرة ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى. ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى فأوحى بسم الله وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر صدق الله العلي العظيم
اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على رسول الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم رب النور العظيم ورب الكرسي الرفيع ورب البحر المسجور ومنزل التوراة والإنجيل والزبور ورب الظل والحرور ومنزل القرآن العظيم ورب الملائكة المقربين والأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم إني أسألك بوجهك الكريم وبنور وجهك المنير وملكك القديم يا حي يا قيوم أسألك باسمك الذي أشرقت به السماوات والأرض وباسمك الذي يصلح به الأولون والآخرون يا حيان قبل كل حي ويا حيان بعد كل حي ويا حيان حين لا حي يا محيي الموتى ومميت الأحياء يا حي لا إله إلا أنت اللهم بلغ مولانا الإمام الهادي المهدي القائم بأمرك صلوات الله عليه وعلى آبائه الطاهرين عن جميع المؤمنين والأرض ومغاربها سهلها وجبلها وبرها وبحرها وعني وعن والدي من الصلوات زنة عرش الله ومداد كلماته وما أحصاه علمه وأحاط به كتابه اللهم إني أجدد له في صبيحة يومي هذا وما عشت من أيامي عهدا وعقدا وبيعة له في عنقي لا أحول عنها ولا أزول أبدا اللهم اجعلني من أنصاره وأعوانه والذابين عنه والمسارعين إليه في قضاء حوائجه والممتثلين لأوامره والمحامين عنه والسابقين إلى إرادته والمستشهدين بين يدي اللهم إن حال بيني وبينه الموت الذي جعلته على عبادك حتما مقضيا فأخرجني من قبري مؤتزرا كفني شاهرا سيفي مجردا قناتي ملبيا دعوة الداعي في الحاضر والبادي اللهم أرني الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل ناظري بنظرة مني إلي وعجل فرجا وسهل مخرجا وأوسع منهجا واسلك بي محجتا وأنفذ أمرا واشدد أزرا واعمر اللهم به بلادك وأحيي به عبادك فإنك قلت وقولك الحق ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر ما كسبت أيدي الناس فأظهر اللهم لنا ولياك وابن بنت نبيك المسمى باسم رسولك حتى لا يظفر بشيء من الباطل إلا مزقا ويحق الحق ويحققا واجعله اللهم مفزعا لمظلوم عبادك وناصرا لمن لا يجد له ناصرا غيرك ومجددا لما عطل من أحكام كتابك ومجددا لما ورد من أعلام دينك وسنن نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله واجعله اللهم ممن حصنته من بأس المعتدين اللهم وسر نبيك محمدا صلى الله عليه وآله برؤيته ومن تبعه على دعوته وارحم استكانتنا بعده اللهم اكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة بحضوره وعجل لنا ظهوره إنهم يرونه بعيدا ونراه قريبا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين العجل العجل يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان العجل يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان العجل العجل يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه وأعوذ به من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما سيدي ومولاي بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So continuing with our discussion of Munajat al-Sha'baniyah, I just would like to start with a brief summary of what we talked about last time, so inshallah we can build upon that and move forward. One of the main things, the overall theme of what we talked about in the previous session, was that it is essential for us to understand the overall concept of du'a, the context of du'a, before we jump into a du'a, before we start reading a du'a, before we start wanting to benefit from a du'a. And for that, it's necessary for us to be able to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to be able to understand His attributes. Knowing an attribute of Allah is different than being able to rationalize it for myself or understanding it. Being able to rationalize an attribute of Allah is different from actually understanding the attributes and understanding how it applies to me or how implement whatever the implications of those attributes of Allah are in my life. So just understanding that there's layers after layers after layers of understanding of these things. It's not enough for me just to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, for example, all hearing. I need to be able to prove it to myself. I need to be able to rationalize it. It's not just enough for me to be able to rationalize it. I need to understand what implications that has in my life. That again is not enough. I need to be able to incorporate that into my life and live my life as if those attributes and those implications, I understand them. One of the main shortcomings from us, from mankind, with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the context of dua, is mentioned in Surah Yunus, which is chapter 10, verse 12. وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانُ الضُّرَّ دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ أَوْ قَاعِدًا أَوْ قَاعِمًا. So, if a difficulty comes across for man, وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الضُّرَّ, a difficulty comes across, دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ أَوْ قَاعِدًا أَوْ قَاعِمًا, he prays to us, he calls out to us, whether he's laying down if he can't get up, whether he's sitting if he can't stand up, whether he's standing, in all states, this person is calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ ضُرَّهُ. But when we take away this difficulty from him and his life, مَرَّ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَدْعُنَا إِلَّا ضُرًّا مَسَّهُ. He acts as if, he walks around as if he never called out to us, as if he didn't come to our door asking for our help. And then the verse continues, كَذَلِكَ زُيِّنَا لِلْمُسْرِفِينَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comparing a person who does that to the musrifin, to the people who are so drowned in this world that they are slowly but surely moving away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So explicitly stated in this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that try not to do that. Try not to do that. Don't call out to me, and when I'm there and I help you out, after that forget about me. If your dua is sincere, then try to come forward and let's try to build this relationship. These discussions are essential for us to be able to understand the du'as, understand the munajats in those contexts, inshallah. So inshallah, let's start with the munajat that we have decided to discuss, inshallah. It starts off with the salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We briefly talked about some of the ahadith that talk about the importance of the salawat on the Holy Prophet. I'll share one more with you today, and then inshallah we'll move on. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, لا يزال الدعاء محجوبا حتى يصلى على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that your dua will never be able to reach. It'll be mahjub, it'll be covered, it will not be able to elevate. There will be a barrier between your dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There'll be a barrier between your dua and Allah subhanahu and the skies until you sent a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So numerous ahadith talking about the importance of the salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, and that is why we see a lot of these munajats, a lot of the du'as that have been narrated through the A'imah alayhimus salam, they start off with the salawat. Not only do they start off with the salawat, but there's salawat throughout the du'as. So that is one of the reasons for it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that your du'a will never be able to reach me, or will not reach me, will stay mahjub, there will always be a barrier between them, until recommendations and etiquettes. Some of the du'as, it's recommended that try to always start your du'a with a salawat, and also end your du'a with a salawat. So basically, the way some of the scholars have explained it, they're saying these are three du'as, right? There's a salawat where you're praying. So what they're saying over here is there's essentially three du'as. And the first and the third du'a are such pure du'as, and are du'as for the best of Allah's creation, that these are not du'as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that du'a. So that's why there's a recommendation. Make sure before you start your du'a, And after you end your dua, recite a salawat. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is too merciful, is too kareem, is too merciful to accept first and the third and ignore the second. So this is one of the ways to be able to benefit from the salawat and the du'as. So inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers our du'a. In the salawat, what exactly are we saying? We're saying, Allahumma, O Allah, salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. O Allah, send your blessings, send your salawat on the Holy Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt. So basically what we're doing is we're asking Allah to send his blessings. What we're essentially doing is sending a little gift to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and his Ahlul Bayt. Now, even in everyday life, right? Someone gives you a gift. It's something very normal. Someone gives you a gift, your heart softens for them. If you're able to, you try to make up for that gift. Again, if you're able to, you try to give them something more and beyond what they've given you. So this is even some. This is something that we see within just normal people like ourselves, who are alhamdulillah mu'mineen, but still striving, still on the path towards that perfection. So what about those beings who are the most perfect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation? The best of the creation, the khayra khalqillah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I were to give a little gift to him, if I were to send a little blessing towards him, would he not try to return the gift to me in a much better way? Right? So this is some of the details or some of the secrets of why the salawat is something that really helps us. And it's, as some scholars have mentioned, that when you send the salawat to the Holy Prophet and his progeny, it's as if, and they try to explain this through an example, and basically the point that they're trying to make is the blessings actually come back to you and I. So when I say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, the blessings actually come back to you and I. One of the ways to explain is what we just talked about. They explain, if that was completely filled with water, you put this cup in a plate. If this glass is completely filled with water and you try to add more water to it, what happens to that water? The glass, there is no more room because the glass is perfectly full. The analogy is that vessel that's completely full and perfect is the Holy Prophet and his progeny and his Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Whereas the followers and the lovers of the Holy Prophet and his family are the ones who are around them. So when we send these blessings and they're already at the epitome of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, that these blessings actually overflow to the mu'mineen, to the followers and the lovers of the Holy Prophet. So just an analogy how they have explained this concept of the salawat actually goes, if we send the salawat, the benefits actually come back to us. And these are the people who are the kindest of the people. These are the people who give even if we've never given them anything. These are the people who, even if they're fasting for 3 days in a row and someone comes to their door, they give all their food away. The people back-to-back nights come to their house and they give their food away, although the entire family is fasting. Now what about someone who's sending them blessings, who's sending the salawat upon them? Would this household not give us back? When they're saying, the verse after that, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِحُبِّ اللَّهِ إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. Right? We are giving you this food. We are giving you these blessings only for the sake of Allah. وَلَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شَكُورًا. I don't want anything in return from you. I don't even want a thank you from you. But this is the household that they don't want anything in return. Now if What if someone gives those salawats, gives the best of the blessings, begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the best of the blessings upon them? Would they not pray for us? Would they not pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the blessings upon us? Now it's important over here for us to not forget what we talked about in the last session. The entire discussion would only make sense if we understand it in that context. So we don't continue, inshallah, what we're trying to do over here is try to complete our understanding or try to improve our understanding at the very least. It's very difficult for us to have a complete understanding of these intricate details and concepts, but at least improve and step by step, inshallah, move towards a complete understanding. But if we don't have that basic understanding, if we don't have that context that we talked about in the previous sessions, then that sort of misconception of the concept of dua will continue for us, God forbid. So the salawat, the du'as start.